This is Brother Peter Diamond, VaticanCatholic.com, and I want to talk about what the popes of the Catholic Church have said about the religion of the Muslims, Islam. I want to cover some very interesting and powerful quotes on this topic, which give us a clear idea of what the Catholic Church actually teaches about this false religion. After that, I want to go through some quotes from the post-Vatican II claimants to the papacy, also known as the Vatican II antipopes, and see what they say about Islam, and the contrast between what the popes have traditionally taught about the religion of the Muslims and what the post-Vatican II claimants teach is simply staggering and amazing. In the description for this video, there is a link to an article I wrote on this topic. It contains these quotes so that people can read them and see the precise source information, because I'm going to have to go through them rather quickly here. These quotes are very interesting, instructive, and important. Many of them have been in our material for years. However, in studying the teaching of the popes, I recently came across some new ones which I wanted to share with people. Now, I want to begin by talking about what are probably the two most important papal quotes on the religion of the Muslims. The first one I want to discuss comes from Pope Calixtus III, who reigned in the 15th century, shortly after the Council of Florence. And in his public vow, dated approximately 1455, he said this, quote, "I vow to exalt the true faith and to extirpate the diabolical sect of the reprobate and faithless Muhammad in the East," end quote. So, according to Pope Calixtus III, Islam is a diabolical sect. The word diabolical means of the devil. It comes from diabolus, the Latin word for devil. So it's not a good religion. It's an evil religion. The church desires the conversion of all the Muslims, tries to bring them into the church so that they can be eternally happy if they die in the true faith and with a state of grace. But the religion is of the devil. That's the teaching of the church. And Pope Calixtus III refers to Muhammad, he calls him Mahomet, a variation of his name, as faithless and a reprobate. Moving on to Pope Eugene IV, at the Council of Basel, 1434, it should be noted that the Church did not approve every session of the Council of Basel, but certain ones. It did approve the session from which this quote comes. It says, quote, "There is hope that very many from the abominable sect of Mahomet will be converted to the Catholic faith," end quote. So, according to Pope Eugene IV, the sect of Muhammad, meaning the religion of Islam, is abominable. It's an abomination. It's something God abhors. It's not something he respects. The next quote I want to look at comes from Pope Pius II. This is a new one. From his address on the occasion of the procession of St. Andrew's Head, April 12, 1462, he says this, quote, "Turn the anger of the Almighty against the godless Turks and barbarians who despise Christ the Lord," end quote. The Turks, of course, refers to the Muslims, and he refers to them as godless. They are without God. Their religion is not of God. The same Pope, in his address September 26, 1459, Pope Pius II I'm referring to, says, "In the royal city of the East, they have slain the successor of Constantine and his people, desecrated the temples of the Lord, defiled the noble church of Justinian with their Mahometan abominations. Each success," referring to the Islamic Sultan, "will be only a stepping stone to the next until he has mastered all the Western monarchs, overthrown the Christian faith, and imposed the law of his false prophet on the whole world," end quote. So, Pope Pius II, who just referred to them as godless, in this address, refers to their religious practices as Mahometan abominations, and Muhammad as a false prophet. John Paul II, by the way, called Muhammad the prophet, as is covered in our material. Moving on to Pope Clement V at the Council of Vienne, a very important quote, 1311-1312, he says that it's an insult, quote, "to the holy name and a disgrace to the Christian faith that in certain parts of the Christian world, the followers of Islam are allowed to meet in their temples or mosques in which, he says, the Saracens meet to adore the infidel Muhammad, and they loudly invoke and extol his name each day at certain hours from a high place. This brings disrepute on our faith and gives great scandal to the faithful. These practices cannot be tolerated without displeasing the Divine Majesty. We enjoin on Catholic princes one and all, they are to forbid expressly the public invocation of the sacrilegious name of Muhammad." End quote. He's referring to the obligation in Catholic states to not allow this kind of activity by the Muslims, and he calls the name of Muhammad sacrilegious. Like all of the other popes, he obviously recognizes that Islam is a false religion and an abomination. Moving back to Pope Calixtus III, on the feast of St. Peter and Paul, June 29, 1456, Pope Calixtus III addressed a bull to all bishops, archbishops, patriarchs, etc. And he exhorted them to prayers, etc. And he added these special directions, quote, "On the first Sunday of each month, processions were to be made in every diocese in order to pray that the threatened Turkish invasion might be averted. The Missa Contra Paganos was to be said, and a suitable discourse delivered to the assembled people." It goes on to quote the prayer, and he said, "Every priest without exception was required to use the following prayer in every Mass." He said, quote, "Almighty everlasting God, to whom all power belongs, and in whose hand are the rights of all nations, protect thy Christian people, and crush by thy power the pagans, who trust in their fierceness." End quote. Now this quote is particularly important, because it discusses this Missa Contra Paganos, which means Mass against the pagans, which he instituted, and this prayer referring to the pagans, which he wanted people to say, and it's directed against the Muslims, okay? So according to Pope Calixtus III, who reigned shortly after the Council of Florence, the Muslims are classified with the pagans. That is extremely interesting, because historically most Catholic writers referred to the Muslims solely as infidels, which means unbelievers. They are indeed infidels, but we see here that they are also pagans. The term pagans generally referred to those who worshipped false gods, and most commonly those who worshipped various false gods, such as Buddhists, Hindus, etc. And for that reason, some authors were of the opinion that Muslims were not pagans, but we see here that that is not correct. They are pagans because they do not worship the true God. Their God is false. And this is particularly significant because it crushes the heresy of Vatican II, the idea that they, together with Catholics, worship the one true God. Because does a pagan worship the one true God together with Catholics? Of course not. The notion is outrageous. And so if the Muslims are to be classified with the pagans, it shows how false Vatican II's teaching on the Muslims is when it says that they, together with Catholics, worship the one true God in Lumen Gentium number 16 and Nostrae Aetate. Muslims do not worship the one true God. They reject the Trinity. They reject the divinity of Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost, and by doing so, they reject the Father. I considered saving that quote from Pope Calixtus III on how Muslims are pagans for a debate in which a defender of Vatican II would try to argue that Muslims do worship the one true God. However, I thought it was important to get it out there. Moving on to Pope Leo X, Fifth Lateran Council, Session 12, March 16, 1517, he speaks of the Turks and other infidels, meaning unbelievers. They treat the way of true light and salvation with complete contempt and totally unyielding blindness. And he goes on. There's another ecumenical council referring to the Muslims as infidels. And all of these quotes from the true popes are very relevant because we have countless quotes from the post-Vatican II anti-popes, not only from their books, but also from their speeches, which Brother Michael went through. And over again, we have John Paul II, or Benedict XVI, or one of the other anti-popes referring to the Muslims as believers. They are not believers. They are infidels, unbelievers. But more on that in the next part. Now, the last quote I want to look at in this part comes from Pope Benedict XIV, his encyclical Quod Provinciale, August 1st, 1754. He declares that Turkish or Mohammedan names should not be given either to children or adults in baptism, and he says that it's so serious that those who do it will not enter heaven. He says, quote, "This should not be hard for any one of you, venerable brothers, for none of the schismatics and heretics has been rash enough to take a Mohammedan name, and unless your justice abounds more than theirs, you shall not enter the kingdom of God," end quote. So obviously there is no respect for this false religion whatsoever. In the next part, I will cover the astounding heresies of the post-Vatican II sect on Islam. This is Brother Peter Diamond, VaticanCatholic.com, continuing with the second part of the discussion, the teaching of the popes and the Vatican II anti-popes on the religion of the Muslims, Islam. In the last part, we looked at what the Catholic Church and the true popes actually teach. We looked at the teaching of Pope Calixtus III, 1455, that Islam is a sect of the devil, a diabolical sect. We looked at Pope Eugene IV, who said that Islam is an abomination, the abominable sect of Muhammad. We looked at Pope Pius II, who called the Muslims godless. He referred to their religious practices as Mohammedan abominations. He referred to Muhammad as a false prophet. One quote I didn't fit into the last part. On October 13, 1487, Pius II published a bull inviting people to a congress, and he referred to the Muslims as the adherents of, quote, "the false prophet Muhammad, the bloodthirsty hosts of the venomous dragon." So he refers to Islam collectively as a venomous dragon. We covered in the last part Clement V and the teaching of the Council of Vienne, which declared that it's a scandal that the name of the infidel Muhammad is read out and proclaimed and extolled in Catholic lands, and that this must not be tolerated, and that his name is sacrilegious. We also covered Pope Calixtus III, who instituted the Missa Contra Paganos, in which he described the Muslims as pagans. Therefore, they don't worship God. They're outside of the true faith. They're outside of the worship of the true God. They are classified among the pagans. We also looked at Pope Leo X, Fifth Lateran Council, who again calls them infidels, the Muslims. We looked at Pope Benedict XIV, who said that it's a mortal sin and will exclude a person from heaven if someone were to give a Mohammedan name to a child in baptism. There are other quotes relevant to what the Catholic Church thinks of Islam and the Muslims. Again, it desires the conversion of all the Muslims. It wants them to be converted and come into the one true church and be eternally happy. However, it tells the truth about their false religion, and that is true charity. One could also have quoted Pope Pius XI, who refers to the darkness of the religion of the Muslims, etc. But now I want to move to what the post-Vatican II anti-popes teach about Islam. It is truly astounding. It alone would prove what our material covers concerning Vatican II being a false robber council, and the false church which emanated from it being a counterfeit sect of the devil. It alone would prove that John XXIII through Benedict XVI are not true popes but anti-popes. There are so many quotes that are heretical from the Vatican II anti-popes on Muslims and the religion of Islam. I do not have time to go through them all. They are found in our material. They come from their books and their speeches and their writings. I went through Benedict XVI's books, and Brother Michael went through the speeches of the anti-popes, and so I will begin. For instance, Benedict XVI, in his address December 22, 2006, expresses publicly, quote, "my respect for the Islamic religion, a respect, moreover, which the Second Vatican Council, Declaration Nostra Aetate number 3, pointed out," end quote. And so he says that he respects not only the Muslims, which is bad enough, but the religion itself. And he says that this respect was taught by Vatican II. That is heresy. To respect a false religion is heresy. This is complete apostasy, in fact, because he's not only respecting a false religion, but one which the church teaches is a diabolical sect, as we covered earlier. So his statement is equivalent to declaring that he has respect for the satanic religion, and that this respect for the satanic religion was taught in Vatican II. We also covered how Pope Eugene IV declared that Islam is an abomination, which means that it's something God abhors. So the church abhors this religion. It doesn't respect it. This is Antichrist. In his catechesis, August 24, 2005, Benedict XVI speaks of Jews and Christians as well as esteem for the other great religious traditions. Islam occupies a special place among them, end quote. So he esteems, as we see here, various false religions, that is apostasy, and he identifies Islam. So he esteems Islam. That means he looks with favor upon a diabolical sect and an abomination. This is apostasy. This is Antichrist. And of course, we all know that in 2006 in Turkey, he went into a mosque and prayed toward Mecca like the Muslims in an Islamic prayer gesture. That is total apostasy once again. In his September 2006 speech, apologizing for his comments on Islam, Benedict XVI said, quote, "I hope that the reader of my text can see immediately that this sentence does not express my personal view of the Quran, for which I have the respect due to the holy book of a great religion," end quote. So he says that some comments he made, which were perceived as negative toward the Muslims and Islam, were not expressing his personal view of their religion or of their book, the Quran, and he says, for which he has the respect due to the holy book of a great religion. So he respects the Quran, which blasphemes the Trinity. He calls it the holy book of a great religion, when in fact it is the evil book of a diabolical religion. This is apostasy. This is Antichrist. In his book, Salt of the Earth, page 244, he speaks of a noble Islam. In his book Truth and Tolerance, 2004, page 204, he says, "Yet even Islam, with all the greatness it represents, is always in danger of losing balance." So he says an abomination and a diabolical sect represents greatness. Like the antipopes who came before him, he constantly showers praises upon the religious leaders of the Muslims, calls them believers over and over and over again, when they are just the opposite. They are infidels, unbelievers. For example, address to representatives of Islam, August 20th, 2005, quote, "The believer and all of us as Christians and Muslims are believers," end quote. This is apostasy. Like the anti-popes who came before him, he sends them greetings when they celebrate their religious feasts, and he even esteems the diabolical Islamic civilizations. General Audience, December 6, 2006, quote, "I thus had the favorable opportunity to renew my sentiments of esteem for the Muslims and for the Islamic civilizations," end quote. This is apostasy. This is Antichrist. Moving on to John Paul II, who constantly taught the heresy that Muslims and Catholics worship the same God. He said it so many times, it's almost unbelievable. He kissed the Quran on May 14, 1999. Which is an act of apostasy. Like Benedict XVI, he went into a mosque. In his message to the Grand Sheikh Mohammed, February 24, 2000, he, quote, "thanked those who are developing Islamic culture," end quote. So he thinks it's a good thing that a diabolical culture is developing. During his visit to Germany, November 17, 1980, he encouraged the Muslims to, quote, "live your faith also in a foreign land," end quote. So he encourages them to practice abominations and live their faith, their false diabolical faith. On March 21st, 2000, he asked St. John the Baptist to protect Islam and all the people of Jordan, end quote. And so he calls heaven to protect this diabolical sect and abomination. This is truly a total inversion and overturning of the Christian religion. This is apostasy. This is Antichrist in the temple of God. He constantly expressed respect for their religious leaders, their false religion. There are just countless quotes On April 12, 2000, he met with the King of Morocco, a descendant of the false prophet Muhammad. John Paul II asked him, quote, "You are a descendant of the prophet, aren't you?" End quote. So he calls the false prophet the prophet. There are many other statements from Benedict XVI and John Paul II in our material, but moving on to Paul VI. He committed one of the worst heresies of all the antipopes on Islam in his speech September 9, 1972. He spoke of, quote, "the riches of the Islamic faith, a faith that binds us to the one God," end quote. So he says that a false religion which rejects the Trinity, which the Church teaches is a diabolical sect and an abomination, binds people to the one God. This is complete and total Antichrist apostasy. Anyone who would deny it is of the devil. In his August 3, 1969 Angelus address, Paul VI spoke of, quote, 22 martyrs were recognized. There were also Anglicans and some Mohammedans, end quote. So he speaks of Muslim martyrs. In his August 1969 address, he says, quote, "Our high respect for the faith you profess. We gladly recall also those confessors of the Muslim faith," end quote. So he has high respect for a diabolical religion. In his address to Muslim ambassador, June 4, 1976, he speaks of Moroccan Muslims, "our brothers in faith in the one God. You will always find esteem and understanding here," end quote. He says the Muslims are brothers in the faith, and he of course taught the heresy that Muslims worship the same God as Catholics. He has high respect for the diabolical religion, and he says it binds people to God.